Worship you, Jesus. Glorify you. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. From Manchki. Hulle fresti frambotske mote mote flemanskiti. Hetch yela dimensi pole fremense poleklese. Interpretation goes something like this. And I birthed through my son's blood. My full intent was this, to bring about the body. The same body that's present today on planet Earth, which was the seed sown by the first resurrection. Know this, that truly always, always, the cornerstone will be the hope in this resurrection, saith the Spirit of grace. But when I planted this seed, I expected it to grow. And know this, that too much of my church is camped at the beginning place and not moved on. For I meant that to be the cornerstone of rejoicing whereby my church could be built line on line and precept on precept. For my pleasure is in this, that my people all over the planet are celebrating an occasion by which I set this in order. Oh, but know this, saith the Spirit of grace, that if you'll go on from this place, not camp just here, this was the beginning, for I added to it the power of my Holy Spirit, whereby my church was to be built, saith the Spirit of grace. And line on line, I would add to it the power by which the apostles walked in. For once again, I desire to visit my church. For herald has been the resurrection, and of great, great reward there will be for those who just camp and stay on that place and born again souls into the kingdom of God. But know this, that was the beginning. And that was supposed to be the launching pad whereby which men were to look at the power in your life portrayed by the power of that resurrection, saith the Spirit of grace. So rejoice in me today, knowing this, that in these last times, that the blind will see and the lame will walk and the deaf will hear and the dumb will speak again and the maimed will be made whole, and all the works whereby I begun my church was once lost by religion and those who were well acquainted with sitting Sunday after Sunday in padded pews and listening to only the foundation. Know this, the foundation is sure. Now go on to perfect holiness in the sight of your King, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ando kerese, kerese. Well, He is risen. Amen. You know, because I know that. How do you know that? Well, Word, yes. What the Word describes is this. John said this in Little John. He said, we know these things whereby. How, John? How? Well, because this is He who came by not only water only, but by water and blood. By water and blood. But He said, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. What? What, John? Yeah. Yeah, this was He who came by water and blood. Sounds okay, John. What are you saying? What He was saying was this. I can tell you as an apostle that He came by water. He made the first birth. He was born of a woman. The prophecies were fulfilled. He was birthed of a woman. Sure enough, everything that was prophesied by the 39 books of the old, the prophetic, He was going to be born of a virgin. Everything that David said, everything that every Old Testament prophet, it was fulfilled. It was fulfilled. He was born of water. He was born of blood. Well, blood. What was that supposed to do? Anything as far as tickling my fancy to know for sure this was the one. John said He was born of this woman. Fulfilled all prophecy. He was born of blood, meaning the bloodline by which you can trace His lineage back is absolutely, goes all the way back to the divinic bloodline. You can go and you can search His bloodline and it goes exactly back to where the prophet said it would begin at David and it wouldn't miss a step. Generation after generation. Thousands of years had come right down to Him. And He said, I mean, He hit the mark. What chances are that? But then He concludes all things and says this, but if we receive the witness of men, meaning I can give you all these statistics and I can tell you exactly He hit the mark in water and in blood. He fulfilled all prophecy. But He says if we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. And He went on to say the witness of God is this, the Holy Spirit inside you. Every man that has this hope in him has the witness inside of him. Meaning this, I can tell you about Him. But the greatest thing in this earth and according to the Word of God that confirms that Jesus is alive is the very witness by which the Holy Spirit bears witness on the inside of you and cries, Abba, Father, You are My Father. Hallelujah. 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 Honde carese blasona. So in that, I've been born again. Hallelujah. I've been born again. How do you know? Because I know. Prove it to me statistically. I just know. Romans says that the Spirit Himself, the Holy Ghost, it said itself, better translation, Himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. Yeah. Every man, John said, that has this witness in himself is born of Him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Crying, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You,
Father.
Thank You,
Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Thank You, Lord.
And I don't remember the last time I was going through the day and walking down the street and something inside of me said, Abba, Abba, Abba. It's just a translation for very generic term, meaning very intimate. Papa, Daddy God. When's the last time you heard your spirit saying, Abba? Not really any time. Not really any time, those exact words. What he was talking about was this, that every man that has this witness on the inside, he had that place that it could be buried under a billion metric tons of pressure. I mean, all the world collapsing on you. Kids seeming like they're going to hell. Finances falling apart. Everything seemed like it was under some diabolical demise from the underworld. Satan sitting right on your shoulder, a little imp, saying, you've lost it all. You're not born again. You haven't had a breath inside of you to call out and even thank Him because you just don't feel thankful. What John was talking about, same thing Paul was talking about. He said that spirit within us, that born again nature, even when it was buried under billions and billions of metric tons of pressure and it seemed like that it just couldn't even... I don't have joy inside of me like I... Oh yeah? Try to quit then. Try to quit. That's it. That's it. I'm ticked off. That's the last time I'm going back to church. I won't be hurt anymore. Oh, these televangelists, every time I hear about another one running off with another woman or another, financial scandal. And that just proves it right there. And I just quit. I quit. I can't. Why? Because no more than quitting, something on the inside will start tickling your fancy. And you say, my God, I don't know why. I just can't give it up. God, every time I feel like just quitting and getting in a corner and having a pity party and saying, let the world, goodbye, mean world, goodbye. It's not more than a few days, a week or two. Something inside of me says, oh, Daddy, I love you. I don't know. I don't understand this. I don't understand it. I feel like quitting. I don't want to go back to church, and I hope there's not another phone call to encourage me. But God, I know that you're in this. You're going to help me. And that's what he's talking about. That spirit keeps crying, Abba, Abba, Abba. And it'll be that compass that leads you all the way to the end. Hallelujah. 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 Why don't you stand up on your feet and give him something that only deserves. He only deserves all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. 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 Now you're doing real good out there. Real good. But since this is the Family Prayer Center, and I love family, we spent a whole day with family yesterday. It was so hot in there, but we didn't care. You know, sweat was flying and all that stuff. A few times I smelt, it wasn't obsession cologne. I know that. It was obsessed, but it wasn't. But family, they don't mind getting real close. So why don't you just kind of, just for a little bit, why don't you just gather in here and just lift up some holy hands. I know you can sit out there and do good too, but why don't you crowd in here, push up to the front and kind of just make yourself at home. Kick your shoes off in the spirit, get real relaxed and forget about, even if this is your first time here, it's family. It's family. Hallelujah. So those of you in the front, push up in real good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes.
We joy.
Yes.
We're excited about you, Lord
Jesus.
Hallelujah. We praise your name.
Yes.
We lift you up, O God.
Hallelujah.
We magnify you and exalt
you. Hallelujah.
We don't praise you, even the rocks will cry out.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you. We rejoice.
We
enjoy your
salvation.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Oh, you are
worthy, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Is worthy of glory and honor.
Hallelujah.
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 Jesus.
Jesus.
Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus.
I worship you. I worship you, my Lord. You are a king.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're doing real good. Doing real good. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Glory to you. Glory to you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus.
Love you, Lord. We are your children. We
worship
you, Jesus.
Worship you, Jesus.
Wonderful.
Worship you, Jesus.
Glorious Savior. We just worship you.
I worship you.
Thank you, Lord. You loved us first, Father.
Hallelujah.
We lift you up. We
exalt
your name forever.
We adore
you,
Lord.
Oh, we love you.
We adore
you,
Jesus.
We draw close
to you, Lord. Jesus, hallelujah.
Just got something there. Don't want to interrupt you because you're doing so good, but a footnote. He just spoke to me and told me to tell you this. You can stand there. But you can rejoice in this, knowing many, many of you will see this before this year turns into another one. You stand at another Easter service. Know this, that because what I'm doing in my church and using the foundation once again to bring it forward, know this, that next Easter and even before, some of the sons and daughters that you've been believing for are going to be standing right beside you. Hallelujah. Those that you've stood for so long in hellacious kinds of situations, and you said, "My God, I don't know how we'll ever drag them out of the world." Know this, saith the Spirit of grace, I'm coming for them. I'm coming for them. Hallelujah. So you can rejoice in where you stand, but know this, there's about to be a great harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't worry about them. They're not going to hell. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship you. I don't think it's going to be too many more days before we'll have a lot of gatherings like this up there or where he's at. A lot of those ones have gone on before us. Well, you think about grandma, grandpa. Hey, they're younger than you are now. Yeah. I'm firmly believer that nobody will appear any more than what he was when he was cut off, which is early 30s. But you think I'm good looking now. My God. Wow. But here's the deal. You all love one another, but then at times, just poquito. There's times where, you'd rather they were, or you were on some other planet. You were, just for a little while, you wish they were there, or you were there. Because it's the schism, you know, the flesh. But guess what? That part of you that doesn't like me sometimes, when the trumpet sounds, that part of you staying here.
Hallelujah.
And a big ball of flesh and just... But the part that loves one another, it's going there. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
So you might as well get to know each other real good here and start that practice. So why don't you go around to a bunch of people and give them a great big hug. Hallelujah. Tell them he's alive this morning. Hallelujah. Sow some discord now, okay? Hallelujah. Well, the only church I know that you can praise the Lord one moment and then we're going to square dance here in a little bit. Push back the chairs. Well, that's the river dance. Can do that one. Hallelujah. We had a glorious day yesterday. We were with my granddad, Dylan. And granddaddy, you can stand up. Why don't you stand up? Everybody here knows granddaddy real good, though. All right. Turned 90 this Wednesday. 90, so... was filled in fullness with the Holy Spirit about 10 years ago when we had the green line here. And he'd just been speaking in tongues ever since. He said this, sometimes I'll call him if he's not calling me and aggravate me about wanting to go hog hunting. And I was telling Gary, my good friend here, Good to see Gary and Dee, soon to be Briscoe. And Gary raises and trains horses, and I was standing around one of his trained horses the other day, and I was telling him about my granddad. I said, yeah, they took him out just the other day, and they were going to take a picture of him. He's 90 years old on a horse. And he said, okay, we want, you know, you've always been a cowboy. Get ready. We'll help you up in just a minute. And I don't know what they did. They probably turned around to get the camera and got turned back around. He's up on the horse. So, you want to see it again? So, 90, and I get to say that, to say, and then on my dad's side, oh, they got one bunch. My uncle died the other day, 101, and then all his siblings are up in their 90s and hitting close to 100 pretty soon. And all I'm just saying that is I'm going to aggravate you for a long, 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 long time. And Candy is so glad. With a long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Hallelujah. This is one of my cousins. Kelly, he was here before. Loves the Lord. He's got something he's going to do on the fiddle for us. Is it a violin or fiddle? Okay. Do you need that mic? We can...
I don't know. I don't think they can probably hear me in the back.
Okay. We can put it on. The yellow one. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's make sure it's on. There we go. All right.
But I'm just going to play one song. But yesterday was Uncle Dylan's birthday, 90th. Well, actually, I guess it was Wednesday, wasn't it? But we celebrated yesterday, and he asked me to play something I really didn't get a chance to play. But he asked me to play Amazing Grace, so it's got to be one of my all-time favorite songs, but I tell you, if you need grace, you're in the right place. Amen. And if you're looking for hope, you're in the right place. And I told him yesterday, I said, I was driving down the road the other day and just kind of talking to the Lord, like, you know, like if Bronk was sitting next to me, just listening to the radio and hearing all the bad news. You can't watch the news anymore without getting depressed, so just don't watch it. And I was talking about another shooting, and I was like, Lord, what is going on? I said, these people have lost their mind. People's going off the deep end. I don't understand this. And the Holy Spirit sort of spoke to me. He said, they haven't lost their mind. They've lost their hope. They have no hope anymore. They're bronked at the end of the rope. They know nothing else to do but to take their own life and others. And that's what Satan wants them to do. But we got hope. We got hope in the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, got so many that were here yesterday and come in from out of town. Hey, what about if you're here, family or friend, that you came in for Granddaddy's blowout, or you're here for the first time, stand up. Come on. Well, the church. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Most of this is family. Granddaddy's brother, sister, let's see, and Pat, Uncle Les, and who else? Sister, brother, and then we've got cousins and nephews and aunts and friends that are just like family. And yeah, oh, we're not mentioning him. We don't. No. Cecil and Joan, they like family, aunt and uncle, grew up with them. This is the amazing part. This is the amazing part, Gary. If you can, they're either having mercy on me or I fooled a bunch of people. For them to know what they know on me and still come. Aunt Pat's shaking her head. To know what they know. And me being the just ideal model role child that I was. I can't believe it. Right? Amen. I can't understand. You know, Jesus didn't even have that kind of... He said his brethren did not. Not his disciples, but his brethren did not believe in him. That was before they got saved. Then once they got saved, and of course James went on to be the head of the church and wrote the book of James. He wasn't a disciple during his tenure on the earth, but then Judas, Jude, which we call Jude, the next to the last book of the Bible, was brother of Jesus, physical or half-brother, it's Mary, his brother also. So they all, before it was over with, decided he is the one. We're not looking for another one. He is the one. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Would you just lift your hands just a little bit? Father, we love you. You are so wonderful. So glorious. Worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we did have the buckets that we put out. I think we've got a bucket now. Went to the lady in the bonnet's got not, it's a hat. I'm glad I see one on Easter. She's special too. Hallelujah. I went to a good ecumenical service this morning, and my Babdecostals brethren talk so long, I just sewed our buckets into them. I just said, I got to go. I got to go. Hallelujah. Glory. We get an opportunity, don't we? The thing that impresses me the most about being able to give was when I found out that I didn't have to. When I got free and found out that I was living under a dispensation that everything of the old was a shadow of the new. Sometimes people will, they'll go back and paint, they'll really build a strong foundation on the old, and they'll put you in bondage. Not meaning to, they just have such a infatuation with the shadow and the Old Testament, what it was portraying, and the Sabbath. And Jesus, when he was rebuked to the Pharisees, he said, look, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. Everything that the old talked about wasn't supposed to rule over us. It was made for our utensils. It was made so we could have rest. But it was this, really, the Sabbath was only a foretaste. It was a It was a shadow of what the new nature would be to you once you got born again. Hebrews says that if Joshua could have led us in to the rest, Joshua meaning a typification of the old and all of the promises of the old and the old covenant and everything, if that could have given us rest, he'd have stopped right there, but it could not. So he said, labor that you may enter into that rest. He wasn't talking about knock on doors. I'm laboring to so I can do another good deed to enter into the rest. No. What he was talking about was, if you go on to read, the moment that you labored in this sense of the word, you gave yourself over to Christ. He became the Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Sabbath day rest came to rest inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can build all those charts and graphs and look at them and, oh, this study, this, and they're neat studies. They're neat studies. The only problem is, man did that. You get a lot of mileage. I mean, you can get a really lot of mileage by putting people under the thumb with a lot of those Old Testament scriptures. You can bleed them almost like a stuck hog. You can bleed them under condemnation, or you can bleed them under guilt, or even the motivation by showing big-bellied kids concentration camp and you're going back over there and tears are being wiped, and I'm not against that. I'll give. The only thing is, what he told us in Corinthians, he said this, that the reason why God loved a cheerful giver was that you did not do it grudgingly nor out of necessity. Grudgingly was that somebody was pulling on your senses so much that you're willing to give, but something inside of you really would have rather it stayed where it was at. He said, grudgingly, nor of necessity, meaning somebody presented a need of necessity and pulled it up so strong that made you feel like you were some sheep-eating dog if you didn't become a part of it. Usually, they camp on Old Testament scriptures and put their weight on a shadow. They'll go back to Malachi, different places, and they'll say, will a man rob God? And he did, it's not G-O-D, it's G-A-W-D, God. You've got to have that religious anointing. It's hard for me to get it. So they'll take you and say, you know, you robbed him. How in have we robbed you with tithes and offerings? No, please, please, read the book. Read it. They were giving. They were giving. In fact, they were giving several different offerings. It wasn't that they were robbing him in their giving. He said they were doing it without any anticipation, in essence, of faith towards God in what they were doing. The priesthood was extracting it from them, and they had no faith in by which they were giving it. But they were giving it as it was a polluted offering. It didn't really. They did it, but they did it systematically because they had to, because there was a robotic kind of something poured on them, like if you don't do it. Well, if you don't do it, religion taught us that he was going to come. If you don't get it up here, if he don't get it up here today, he'll just flatten your car tires next week and he'll get it somehow. My God. Well, let me sow then. I need to get to work next week. Isn't it amazing? I mean, the only thing I couldn't figure out, I tried to put it two and two together, how they wanted to build those Old Testament giving sermons on you. If you didn't, you'd be cursed. If you're cursed, you're cursed. And Jesus really didn't even teach tithing. He didn't. He taught giving. He taught stewardship. You can't find where Jesus taught tithing. But he did teach stewardship. Stewardship, something well beyond. It's a place of response out of your heart. It's right out of your heart. Well, the problem, the thing I couldn't reconcile was this. They camped on Old Testament. I mean, just absolutely camped on it. Camped on it. Camped on it. Like if you did not give, you were somehow going to be cursed with a curse. And they just said, okay, this is it. You got to go by what it said. The only thing I couldn't reconcile was, now listen. Okay, we got to go by Old Testament. You'd ask them questions. Yeah, it says it, doesn't it? That's the Word of God. That's right. It says it. So, everything okay? Okay? Go ahead. Take off. Camp. You'll be all right. Okay. Just camp right there. Say, well, you mean I got to give? Yeah, because it's Old Testament and it's the Word, right? Yes. Well, isn't there grace? I mean, you teach us grace over here in the New. Like he's got some kind of level of it's a thing of the heart. Yes, but he said it here. It's going to be cursed with a curse if you do not give. Okay. Well, then listen, let me ask you this. If we're going to take that just literal, I mean, okay, I'll go with you on it. I'll go with you on it. But then if we're going to go with it literally, as he said in the old, if you don't give, you're cursed. And does that mean that we've got to go back? Because if you just take one, you got to take them all. So then, okay, then what are we going to do? Man or woman caught in adultery, now we got to stone them. Of course, we couldn't do that. We'd have to build our churches next to rock quarries if we did that. Oh, I didn't say that. Oh, God, now I've lost the offering. No, you got to... Why can they take one and beat you with it, and then when they get over to anything else? No, it's grace, it's grace, it's grace. The bottom line was this. Paul gave the commandment in Corinthians. If you do it, make sure that it's based on the same supposition that your love walk is. He can't make you, even if you're a son or a daughter, he cannot make you lift those hands and say, I love you. But boy, when you out of your own volition say, oh, Father, I love you, I worship you, I magnify you. He doesn't even make the angels do that. They have their own will. A third of them walked out on their own will. The rest of them are still there because they want to. But listen, he didn't create anything in the universe where he's supposed to put a thumb on them and say, my God, oh God, I'm going to give. I'm happy about it too, because I'm happy that you're not going to kill me if I don't. No. The greatest thing he ever wanted from you was something that only you could give. The choice to love him. And the same thing in your giving was the choice. When you wrote it out or you pulled it out, it was because you wanted to. It was out of the abundance of your heart. No man pushed you into it. Nobody jerked your chain, pulled a tear out of you, and made you. Had to. I'm going to make sure I get this from you one way or the other. No. That's not blessed. The guy doing it, he's not blessed. But boy, if I can give and know that, God, this is a representation. It might be my sweat and out of the last week, but it's more than that. It's my heart towards you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, we lost our buckets. I told Ralph this morning, I said, well, pull your cowboy boot off and put up there. We'll fill it up. He said, no way. I can't do that. Probably stunk too much. Well, glory. Are you having a good time? Okay. Let's just ask him what he'd have us to give this morning. Father, I love you. This is momentous occasion. We thank you, Father, that as you said, our sons and daughters are the ones that are out there. My kids, I'm thankful they're here, but there's a lot more of my sons and daughters in the Spirit. They're coming in. And I'm so thankful. The biggest thing I know in giving this morning is I don't have to buy anything from you. This offering doesn't have anything in the world to do whether or not you'll go out there and gather my loved ones in. Doesn't even have an inkling to do with that. I'm not buying anything from you as a response of how much I love you. And the souls that will be on the account on the judgment day, that Father, this money goes in to spreading the gospel. Father, I rejoice in these things. And I give you all the praise and glory. Now, speak to our hearts as you and only you can do. And I thank you for it. Holy Spirit, you're the one that manages this. You're the comptroller. You're the one that speaks always and releases all this. So I love you. I worship you. And Immokalee is saved. Hallelujah. Immokalee is saved. Hallelujah. All right, if you'll get ready, there should be an offering envelope somewhere close to you. It doesn't matter if you put it in one, but if you want a record of it, you can put it in there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. My old block-laying buddy, for years and years, I turned 18, Daddy put me out there. Well, I was laboring at 14, but put me between two fast-running masons, and Kenny Moyer was teaching me and taught me how to lay blocks. I've never forgiven you for that, Kenny. It'll be a few more Easters, I think. Never forgiven you for that. Are you ready to give? Okay, would you can bring this down, and then you can have a seat share a little bit of the word, and it'll get you out quick enough you can hide an egg or something like that. So come on, let's stand together. If you got something, bring it on down, and then you can return to your seat. Father, it's already blessed. We thank you for it. We don't have to beg you, but we just thank you in advance that our God supplies all of their need and my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I worship you. I thank you, Father, because I know you're Abba God. You're God, and because you're my daddy, then Lord, it doesn't matter what the economy's doing. It doesn't matter. You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. You change things. Lord, you make sure that your children get the best jobs and the most favorable positions, Lord. That it's a testimony in the earth to the onlookers to see that there is something about His name. Hallelujah. We worship you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But you can bring this down. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Do you guys want to bring that down first? Hallelujah. Jesus. Would you say that is, even though we enjoy it, it's about the biggest understatement that there is? There's just something about that name. I guess so. He's everything. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, we'll pick up here. Let's go to Matthew. Oh, 12. We'll look at 39, 40, something in there. And then we're going to turn to the Old Testament for just a minute. Hallelujah. But while you're doing that, the ones that have already went ahead and got it done, why don't you stretch your faith this way? Help me. Pray for me, would you? I'd appreciate your prayer. Father, I love you. I worship you. I thank you for their prayers. So, Father, I ask you now. I know this, and am coming to know more and more that I can do nothing of myself, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm asking you, Father, just for these few moments, that the Word of God will glorify Him, Christ in us, the hope of glory. In the person of the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we love You. We appreciate You. We ask through the name of Jesus that You glorify Him as You've been sent to do. And we thank You for it. And everybody said, Amen. Well, usually we equivocate the suffering of Christ to be right on the cross. But of course, as you well know, if you followed Scripture and read the Gospels, where we'll might not be that particular Scripture I had you turn to, but Matthew does talk about a place. Of course, all the Gospels will include some portion of this, but Matthew, or Luke rather, got real, down to the bottom line, suffering, the agony that Christ was undergoing just before the cross. And of course, He went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and you can preach wonderful, and did, flowery sermons on the... It does mean the Gethsemane. It is a wine press there, and they used it for pressing the olive, and they'd make olive oil there. So the typifications are just, they're enormous. It was a place of crushing, a place of pressure, and so you can really get some good material out of that. And it's true. The only thing is that what was happening to Him was more than storybook. Luke said that the pressure got so strong on Him that His sweat became great drops of blood. So they found out, really, that you could be under such a mental demise. Short of suicide, you're just holding out. They found out the capillaries in around the forehead could explode, and you could sweat blood. You could. Well, even if they hadn't have found it out scientifically, I know the Word says it, so I'd believe it. He was under that kind of duress. Well, why? Well, this is where His sufferings begin. The Word says He became to become very sorrowful, even unto death. Well, the death that He was talking about, sure, we know He went on to accomplish a physical death, but He was talking about really was a spiritual death that was taking place. The Word says this: He who knew no sin became sin. He became sin, meaning it was pressed on Him. And sure enough, in that place of pressing, God began to press sin on Him to the point that... See, here's a man. Here's a man, 33 and a half years. First man since Adam, 4,000 years. First man to be born spiritually alive. Adam was born, actually created. Breath of life breathed in him. wasn't oxygen. It was the pneumatikos, they say in the Hebrew, in the Greek. It's the life. He was the life. The Spirit was breathed in him. Somebody said, God breathed. You think any being is supernatural enough to create oxygen has to depend upon it? It doesn't have to have oxygen to breathe. He breathed the breath of life, which was Adam's spirit. And when he was spiritually born, he became a living soul. And his faculties, his soul came into being. That's why you are spirit, soul, and body. You're pneuma, psuche, which means psych. We get the word psychic or psychikos, man. It's that part of you that it's a mind, will, and emotions. It's a part of you that will break down under pressure and want to throw a temper tantrum. Doesn't like people sometimes. But the pneumatikos, or the pneuma, the spirit man, that was the part that was breathed in. Well, Adam had the life of God in him, and he said, in the day and hour that you eat thereof, you will die. And sure enough, they ate. But they didn't die. In fact, Adam went on to live another 800 and something years, died at 900 and some odd years old. So what was it? Well, he died spiritually. So the death took place on the inside. Now here he is standing on planet with a he's alive. He's a cognizant being. He can talk all right. He can even love. He could have emotions for his kids and his offspring. He grieved when Cain killed Abel. The only problem is the life that was in connection with God. So when God would come down in the cool of the day and talk with Adam, they had some kind of rapport that's exactly like, but not exactly like. Because ours is even now, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, superseded that. But that's what it was. We'd call it a born-again nature. He had a nature that could commune with God, because God had come down and talked with him. But the moment that he died, he didn't die physically. He lived on another 800 and something years. But that kind of communion was cut off. It was cut off. Well, then, of course, every man bearing Adam's seed, every man from that point on was born under the dispensation of every nature. Every nature, every child born in the earth. They were innocent if they died before a certain age. Sure, they'd go to the Lord. David said, the child he lost, I can't bring him back, but I'll go to heaven where he's at one day. Well, prior to that, all these souls being born, thousands and thousands, no, possibly billions, right up to Noah. You know, they were living 800 and 900 years old and having sons and daughters, and somebody did a calculation on it. Because if women just could bear a child, you know, once a year, wouldn't have been nothing to. So the women, you know, I know you women appreciate this, have 400 or 500 kids. God, just saw Angie slap Kelly. Just she'd drive into it, right into a town. And, hey, Joe, the whole village, you kin to most of these people? Yeah, they're all my kids. All 500 of them. There was thousands. And you don't think that the ancient world didn't have billions of people in it. The only thing is, when Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. He said, no man. And when he said no man, he meant no man. No man has ascended to the Father except he who has come down, meaning himself. Well, there was a holding place for them. It's called Abraham's bosom. It wasn't somebody's chest muscles. It's a comfortable place. It was concealed in a spiritual realm under the earth. And all those thousands and thousands and thousands of people that had any trust in the law was from Adam up till Christ. Billions of them being born and dying. And there was a Hades. It was a place of torment. But there was also a place that Lazarus looked across, and you know, the rich man looked across and saw Lazarus. Jesus was reporting out of his spiritual knowledge of that place. But nobody had ascended. Not in the Old Testament. Nobody could. Why? Because you couldn't go except you're born again. So, I mean, well, what about Elijah? He was taken up. Yeah, he was taken up, but he was taken down. You know, what about Enoch? He disappeared. He went to... God took him. Yeah, God took him, but put him in Abraham's bosom. So, you got all these people, billions of them, in Abraham's bosom, and Jesus hasn't been born again. Why? Because the first begotten among many brethren hadn't come. For 4,000 years, the world had been waiting for another Adam. Couldn't free that bunch until that second Adam came. Couldn't free them. They're locked up waiting for the second Adam. So for 4,000 years, they've been waiting for this second man to be born again. So he's born. He comes into the earth and he's born. John says this, in him. John. Gospel. In him was life. That's not physical life. That's Zoe life. In him was life, meaning he had the same kind of life in him that Adam had. Every man born up to him was spiritually dead. But now here comes the breaking of the womb and Mary gives birth to the second Adam. Here he is. In him is life, and the life was the light of man. Hallelujah. And this life became flesh and dwelt among us. It was the glory of the first begotten of the Father. So, hallelujah. So here he comes. For 33 and a half years he's walking this earth sinless. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Now, I was born a sinner. Well, what did you do? You know, kicked your mother in the side of the rib when you were born? No, I inherited Adam's nature. By reason of the human genealogy. But when Jesus looked at Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Because that which is born, that which is birthed, the flesh is flesh. Meaning your mom and daddy gave you your first birth. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. Meaning only the Spirit of God can give you your second birth. I was born of the natural, but I have been born of the spiritual also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here this man steps into the planet. He's the first man he talked about in John 10. Many have come before me, but the sheep couldn't hear their voice. Because he was talking about you can't take a spiritually dead man. You can't take a Buddha, a Hare Krishna. You can't take somebody that's spiritually dead on the inside and make a savior out of them. You can't dip into a spiritually dead gene pool and pick up a savior out of it. You can't. But here he steps up. Been prophesied, and after 4,000 years he comes into the earth. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. But here he is at the end of his life. Luke said that his sweat become great drops of blood. Well, how so? Well, easy. Because now, lived all of his life, would not let himself go to a place. Controlled all of his emotions out of a baptized of the Holy Spirit at the River Jordan, physically and spiritually, but had a new nature on him. But here he is now at the end of his life, and all this stuff is coming upon him. Can you imagine what it must have been like here? You'd never allowed your emotions to run wild with you. You'd never cursed anybody. You'd never really, never hated anybody. Never allowed yourself to go to a place. Mary Magdalene's washing his feet. Now that can look like a sensual position. I mean, but here's a man pure of heart. Just wouldn't let his emotions go there. Touch of millions of thousands of people touching him. Kept giving the glory back to his Father. If you've seen me, you've seen him. But now all of a sudden, he doesn't know. I mean, it's so hard on him that here's calculation. He knows he's the Word incarnate, and yet it's the first time ever there's a separation. It's coming on him between him and his Father. All he had ever known was just walking in a perfect communion day after day. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I mean to tell you, there was no separation point. And now, sin is being pressed on him. Could you imagine? Now, he's not only taking sin. I mean, it's being imputed to him. It's being pressed down in a point. Where now he's feeling all the effects of every, not only thought, but emotions. He knows whatever a child molester feels. He feels like that he himself is being separated. He feels every diabolical murder that's ever taken place by anybody that's separated themselves from the lowest pit. And all this is being pressed upon him. And it's God, is this really got to happen? Can you calculate it? He three times. Can you figure an essence of, just plain vernacular. Can you figure out any other way? He knew there wasn't any other way. Can you figure out some other way? If there's another way, I don't. It wasn't that he didn't want to die for us. He just didn't want to be separated from his father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I can see that we'll never get to where I wanted to go. Where we could have gone if we'd have had the time. To take you on a journey that Jesus said this. You Pharisees want a standing sign? I'll give you a standing sign. It's one sign going to be given to you. Like Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth or in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man will be 3 days, three nights. You go into all of the Psalms, you can find out exactly what he was talking about. You go into the second part of Jonah. If you read verbatim and say, okay, now, you're telling me, Jesus, by what I see here in Matthew and in Luke, that you're telling me, he said, as Jonah was, meaning what took place to him, what took place during his life, and what happened to him in that, it's not a quote, fairy tale story. What happened to him was an exact replica of what is going to happen to you. That's what I'm telling you. Well, then you pick up over in Jonah and you find out, you read chapter 2 and then go to a powerful, powerful psalm where every verse depicts him, even to places where he says, just like he said in Jonah, that the billows overwhelmed me, and he said, I cried out by reason I was cut off from family and friends, and the sorrows of hell encompassed about me, and I lifted up my hands, I was cut off from the land of the living. Sure, he told the man, today you'll be with me in paradise. Yeah. But there was a place. But there was a time that absolutely, if we'd have had the time to go through every part of it, I can prove without a shadow of doubt that the part that we love to celebrate is crucifixion and the resurrection. My God. And it's worth celebrating. But I can tell you, it was only a tip of the iceberg. What went on during that 3 day period of time? I wish Steven Spielberg, we could gather up a bunch of money and write the script from the Word, because I'm telling you, he died when he said, Eli, Eli, Shaklabai, something to that extent. He was saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They said, he's out of his mind. No. Truly, there was that separation for the first time. Here, it was like you were born again and you truly lost your born again nature. Now, you're cursed of the Father. He said, you cut me off from family and friend, and in the pit, psalmist said it, I wish I could. Just won't let me. He said, with my hands lifted, I cried out by reason. Let me tell you how much this man loves you. Isaiah said, his visage, like the way he says, it's his visual form, was marred more than any man. Now, marred more than any man, every train wreck, motorcycle wreck, burnt victim, you're telling me that this man's appearance, I just can't, you know. Now, he wasn't talking about that you couldn't mutilate a body to where it couldn't be so unrecognizable that people would say, my God, what's that person been through? What he was talking about was this, that what wrapped him up into what Isaiah calls and the psalmist called a worm was when sin began to be poured out on him. The twisting and the distorting of everything that ever from Adam through Moses right up into Christ was being laid upon him. And you cannot equivocate. You can't add the factor into any mutilation, any catastrophe, any kind of marring that any man will be marred under. You cannot place what it would look like when you add all of the world's sin on top of that. The visual form of it. Some people have a pretty picture of Jesus in their office, or, and it's okay. I'm not preaching against pictures. You couldn't hang the one up when they got done with him. But it's not just his death there. Paul said that we've been baptized with him in spiritual death. He died. Sure he did. But he not only died physically, he was separated for you and me. And he lived out that torment like a man that was a sinner, separated from God at least for some period of time until the call came. That's enough. That's enough. Now, I read it this morning. I can give you the scripture so you can read it yourself. But backs up what my friend, good father in the faith, said. He's sitting there after a seeking time, fasting and praying. He said he saw something that he didn't know what it was, and then he saw it again. And you may have to swallow this with a grain of salt if it chokes you. Just meditate on Jonah 2 and Psalms 88. Psalm 16 and Psalms 22 and on and on and on. He saw a man lying on his back. Psalms 88 is a good one for that. Describes it. Lying on his back in some kind of place of torment. He said he even saw, Jesus said, where the worm dieth not. This man was in a place of torment, extreme torment, with his hands lifted up, saying, God, Father, you got to get me out of here. God. Saw all the hordes of hell around him. Didn't know what he saw to start with, till the Spirit said, that's your Savior. That's the price he paid for you. My God, I thank Him that He died. But He went on to pay a price. Spielberg couldn't. I mean, if he had the theatrics behind it, you think you watch The Passion of the Christ, you talk about something that went beyond. He went into the belly of the earth. And the same thing that happened to Jonah happened to him. But I'm telling you, the hordes of hell could not hold him. Glory be to God. Nobody ever loved you and me like him to pay that kind of price. I'd die for one of my kids. I'd stand in front of a speeding bullet, But to go to hell, got to think about that one. He said in the psalmist, I was cut off except for you. Cut off. That doesn't sound like a place of paradise. He was cut off. My friend. He became, as Colossians 1:18 said, the first begotten from the dead. He stepped out and became the first born, the Word says, of many brethren. Jesus, why do you think He said, you must be born again? Because He had to be born again. He was the first begotten of many brethren. Now, I don't know what my number was. I don't know if I was 6,583,000,000,000. I don't know what. He was the first begotten of many brethren. I'm somewhere down the line. He was born again. I've been born again. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. He's resurrected. I've been resurrected. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Are you glad? Jesus, I glorify you. Whew. Glorify you. Just lift those hands before we do anything else and leave today, and just thank Him that He loved you enough. He loved you enough. If you are in here this morning, you do not know, we don't normally typically have an altar call. We don't feel his calling now. But if you're in here, you don't have to join this church. You don't. Here's the difference between Christianity and religion. We belong to a family. We don't belong to do's and don'ts. We belong to a family. And all you have to do is just call out and say, Jesus, I receive what you did for me. That's all you have to do. You went to hell for me. You're resurrected for me, and I receive it. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Lift those hands one more time. Father, it doesn't matter what we've gone through in this life. That blood is sufficient. So, Father, we thank you that on this Easter that we can go out of here with the power of the resurrection backing us up. Your love, your glory, your grace, and all that we are, I speak life over every man, woman, boy, and girl in here today. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done over their lives and all their families. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. What a good day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think you go out of here just rejoicing and giving a lot of hugs. Hallelujah. Has he been good today or what? Amen. We love all of you. You're blessed. Have a great day.